Okay, chapter 42. I get a job at Bloomie's. Another day job that I got while living in New York was at Bloomingdale's department store. You're going to hear some birds, and I'm in Thailand recording this, and I'm leaving the doors open. So let me start over. Okay, chapter 42. I get a job at Bloomie's. Another day job that I got while living in New York was at Bloomingdale's department store. I had somehow gotten wind of a job opening at Estee Lauder's at Bloomingdale's on 59th and Lex. And what they were looking for was a male-type model to stand in front of the Estee Lauder counter with a bottle of perfume. And when a woman walked by, ask her if she would like to try some. And if she said yes, give her a shot, let her smell it, and bring her on over to the counter if she was so inclined. So I applied for the job, and I got it. I mean, just what the hell did I have back then? I just never seemed to get turned down now that I think about it. God. And to think that I never really appreciated it. So all of a sudden, I'm going to work every day to another New York City landmark, Bloomingdale's. And guess what? I absolutely love that job. I mean, Bloomie's on 59th Street with its big brown bag might just possibly be the best darn store on planet Earth. It qualifies on location alone. I mean, it's right in the middle of one of the best spots in New York City at 59th and Lexington, and right down the street from the 59th Street Bridge. And to work there every day was exciting and fun as hell, and never a dull moment. I mean, the store itself is nothing less than a world-famous landmark, or so it seemed to me, anyway. And anybody who was anybody could be seen walking through Bloomie's in New York City on any day at any time. The other thing was that the staff at the Estee Lauder counter was just terrific, and we were more like family than coworkers, really. There were about five guys that worked there, and they were all gay, and even though I wasn't, they included me in their little family anyway. I also liked the work itself of approaching a female shopper and asking her if she would like a little spray of perfume today, almost like I was just accommodating her as she shopped. And by now you know what I think about winning over females. Hell, I had made a damn science out of it. I was certainly the right man for the job. I mean, hell, it gave me license to approach a lovely girl and strike up a conversation. I had been doing that without pay my whole life, and now I was getting paid for it. Plus, I got to offer her a gentle little spray of some lovely perfume, and that, what woman wouldn't like that? I received a lot of smiles, what can I say? A few things that happened while I was working there all those years ago have stayed with me and are worth mentioning. As I had mentioned prior, all of the staff at the Estee Lauder counter were gay, and one guy who was sort of my buddy and said to me had said to me one day, "Hey, Brad, you want to go to lunch with me?" And I said, "Sure, let's go." And then he said, "You know, if you go to lunch with me, everyone's going to think you're gay." And I said, "So what? Let them think it. Let's go eat." He was cute anyway with his little dimple when he smiled. Then another thing that happened, which is incredible in my mind, happened one morning. It was around 10 in the morning, and we were setting up to do our thing for the day, and a very well-dressed older woman with an entourage of about four men in suits behind her entered the store and headed to the main Estee Lauder counter, which was the very first cosmetics counter that you could see once you entered Bloomingdale's. And I happened to be standing with that same cute dimpled guy that I had gone to lunch with, and he says to me, "Hey, Brad, do you know who that is?" And I said, "No, who?" And he says, "Well, my friend, that's Estee Lauder." And so it was, only in New York. I still get goosebumps when I think about it. The other thing that occurred that I remember like it was yesterday is that when I was subbing for a guy in another part of the store, which was located at sort of a crossroads of the store, it was my job to direct people to wherever they wanted to go in the store by pointing this way or that way. And it was later in the day when a guy comes in off the street looking really crazy, and he says something to the effect of, "It's all over. The world is ending. The stock market has just crashed. It's all over." Well, that was on what is commonly known as Black Monday, when the New York Stock Exchange plunged by a then-record 508 points. Here's what I got from the net, read that day. The stock market crash of 1987, or Black Monday, was the largest one-day market crash in history. The Dow lost 22.6% of its value, or $500 billion, on October 19, 1987. Here's a picture of Bloomingdale's at Lexington and 59th Street, and right down the street from the 59th Street Bridge. And that, my friends, it's the best I could do, and that's the end of the chapter. Take care.